Monkshood by Ellis Peters, dramatized for radio by Bert Cools, with Sir Michael Horden as the narrator and Philip Maddock as Brother Cadfael. Episode 1, Troubled Times.
On this particular morning, at the beginning of December, in the year of our Lord 1138, Brother Cadfael, herbalist and garden keeper of the Benedictine Abbey of St. Peter and St. Paul in Shrewsbury, came to chapter in tranquillity. He rolled contentedly to his chosen seat behind one of the pillars in a dim corner, and watched with half-sleepy benevolence as his brothers of the house filed in and took their places.
Good morning, Brother Cadfael.
Good morning.
Hiding, are you?
Brother Mark, your position as my apprentice gives you certain privileges.
Privileges? But toiling in the herb garden from dawn to dusk and helping to mix your foul-smelling potions.
But accusing me of hiding is not among them. And if you truly find your duty so unpleasant, I'll speak to the abbot on your behalf. I'm sure something else could be found for you.
No, you won't, will you?
Probably not.
Quamade ordine nostro.
Father Heribert looks so frail.
All men are worn by these troubled times.
Brother, Brother Francis will recall for us the list of saints and martyrs to be commemorated in prayer during the coming days.
Father Abbot, upon the 10th of December, St. Miltiades of Rome, Pope and Martyr. Upon the 11th of December, St.
Today, Brother Cadfael was prepared to be tolerant, even towards the pedestrian reading of Brother Francis. Men were variable, fallible, and to be humoured. And the year, so stormy in its earlier months, convulsed with siege and slaughter and disruptions, bade fair to end in calm and comparative plenty. That spring, the civil war for the throne of England that had raged safely distant for more than 2 years had finally reached Shrewsbury, engulfing both castle and town. But now the opposing armies of King Stephen and the Empress Maud had moved on, receding into the southwestern borders. Shrewsbury had been left alone to recover cautiously from having backed the weaker side and paid a bloody price for it. But for all the hindrances to good husbandry, after a splendid summer, the barns were full, the mills were busy, and the weather continued surprisingly mild. No one was wilting with cold, yet no one yet was going hungry. It could not last much longer, but while it did, every day counted as blessing.
On the 14th, St. Spiridon, Bishop of Tremethus. And there ends the list.
By your leave, Father Abbot.
Brother Cadfael.
What is it, lad?
You are asleep.
Nonsense.
I didn't want him to see you.
By your leave, Father Abbot.
Prior Robert.
There is an urgent matter of discipline that must be raised.
From the darkness of his corner, Brother Cadfael regarded Prior Robert Pennant, ivory of face and silver of hair and brows, ever erect and stately, as if he already balanced the abbot's mitre for which he yearned. Beside him, Abbot Heribert, old and gentle and anxious, seemed to diminish even further.
And who has been guilty of this indiscipline?
One of the novices. The boy was heard singing in the cloisters while he was employed copying a prayer of St. Augustine.
Singing?
A secular song, Father Abbot, and one concerning a woman. It purports to be the lament of a Christian pilgrim imprisoned by the Saracens. He comforts himself by hugging to his breast a gift given to him by his lover at parting. Her chemise.
What? Look at Brother Jerome. He's practically having convulsions. I think he'd forgotten that women exist.
Quiet. I know that song.
What?
It's beautiful.
Cadfael had come late to the monastic life, like a battered ship settling at last for a sheltered harbour. His roving youth had taken him as far afield as Venice and Cyprus and the Holy Land. He had fought for the cross, sailing the seas as a captain, and serving as a soldier at the great battles of Derylium and Antioch. He had been in the same crusade as the writer of that song. He knew the land, the Saracens, the haunting light and darkness of such a prison and such a pain. And he, too, had left behind a loving woman and the fond memories of her embrace.
What defense did the lad make?
Brother Cadfael, it is not often that we hear a contribution from you, a chapter. He told me that he learned the song from his grandfather, who fought for the cross at the taking of Jerusalem. And he found the tune so beautiful that it seemed to him to be holy. The more so because the pilgrim who sang was not a monastic or a soldier, but a humble person who made
the long journey out of love.
Well, well. You are familiar with this song, brother?
I am. And I remember nothing in the words to suggest that the loving woman left behind was not the singer's wife. It is surely not the purpose of our order to censure the sacrament of marriage. I think this young man may have done nothing very wrong. Perhaps Brother Vicenta should see if the lad has a gifted voice. Those who sing at their work commonly have some need to use a God-given talent.
Oh, an admirable solution.
The misdemeanor remains.
I shall consider a suitable penance.
Father?
Didn't like that, did he?
Our prior is not a man to take in discipline lightly.
Thank God for Father Heribert. Will you sing me that song sometime?
Brother,
quiet.
Before I put an end to chapter 4 this morning...
Father?
Yes, Brother Matthew?
Pardon, Father, but there are a few documents to be sealed, chiefly the guestship agreement with Gervaise Bonnel and his wife, to whom we are giving the first house beyond the millpond. Master Bonnel wishes to move in as soon as may be.
Yes, yes, I've not forgotten. But these documents cannot be sealed today,
but, Father,
for good and sufficient reason. There is something I have to announce to you all. You all know that Pope Innocent has acknowledged King Stephen's claim to the throne of this realm. It is not a secret that His Grace the King, when he was here in the summer, held me in no great favour. In the confusion of the times, I did not see my way clear and was slow to accept his sovereignty. I am now summoned to London to account for my stewardship of Shrewsbury. Until and unless the king and the papal legate confirm me in office, I am no longer abbot of this brotherhood.
Father Abbot, must you go?
The king must restore him.
Monarchs are unpredictable creatures, I fear.
We shall be like sheep without a shepherd.
Brothers, this news comes as a blow indeed. Father Abbot, be assured that our prayers shall go with you. When must you set forth?
The day after tomorrow. I ride but slowly these days. In my absence, of course, Prior Robert will be in charge of all things here.
Oh, no.
Who else, lad? You'll have to mind your conduct.
Yes, and I won't be the only one.
Yes.
Father.
That title is no longer mine. Come in, Cadfael.
There is a sneezing room in the air. Brother Edmund has several patients already. Now, this may help keep it at bay.
What is in it?
Oh, rosemary and whorehound and saxifrage. Mm. The body is a red cherry wine. You'll find it warming.
I fear I shall have need of warmth. All is well in your own kingdom?
By God's grace, the herb crop has been rich and varied. We are well supplied against the ills of winter.
That is pleasing. And you, I think, are content, brother?
It is a better world than it looked in the spring. And an ending that improves on its beginning. There's always good news.
True, true. It is well that your stores are plentiful. Master Bonnel and his family will doubtless make some call upon them.
Oh, they are coming, then. I understood that the move could not be sanctioned.
Not officially, but the arrangements are long since made.
Master Bonnell has granted to the Abbey his entire wealth, lands and properties, in return for a house in the grounds and free meals and clothing for life. It is a particularly generous gift. Master Bonnell is Lord of the Manor of Malilly.
Lord of a manor? That is a rich man indeed.
And it seemed unlikely that any new abbot would wish to upset the agreement.
No, of course not.
Something troubles you, Cadfael? This is a perfectly usual arrangement, you know that.
Oh, I'm not troubled, Father. Puzzled, perhaps. What makes a man desire such an inactive life? Everything provided for him without the lifting of a finger. And a man blind or lame, I could understand it, but...
But Master Bonnell is neither. Perhaps he mistakes idleness for blessedness.
Perhaps.
Abbot Heribert departed by the London Road in the early morning of a somewhat grey day, the first time there had been the nip of frost in the air. He took with him his clerk and two lay grooms, and many of the brothers crowded to the gates to watch him as long as he remained in view. Some fixed their eyes on the road even afterwards, as if hoping by the intensity of their gaze to bring him back again.
How could he look so content?
You must learn to read what is written behind the man's face.
I can see behind Prior Robert's face clearly enough.
Oh, can you indeed?
Well, can't you? He's far too clever to show it openly, but he thinks the king's going to make him the new abbot.
Then you'd best get used to his being in charge, hadn't you?
I think that the king will reappoint Father Heribert. I suppose it could take ages. Do you think that things will change, meanwhile?
Well, time cannot stand still, not even here. Look around you and look below the surface. If truth be told, there is room for a little hard practicality within these walls. Now, that's more than enough of this sort of talk. Come on, William. We have work to do.
In one corner of the abbey grounds, behind thick, well-trimmed hedges, lay Cadfael's herb garden and workshop. Here, he grew the small and precious plants which could not survive in the abbey's main kitchen gardens. And here, he brewed his draughts and blended his oils and pounded his poultices to medicine, not only the brothers, but any who came to him for help in their troubles.
Do you know what Prior Robert has done?
No, I don't. Because unlike you, I don't possess the keenest nose for gossip in Shrewsbury. So come and tell me.
He's moved into the abbot's lodging. Truly. And Father Heribert barely out of the gates. All the servants at the lodging are simmering. Brother Henry says it's almost blasphemy.
Does he now?
I call it great presumption. Well, don't you?
Well, if I did, I would not say so. And nor should you so openly. Do you remember nothing, I tell you?
Brother Petrus is looking blacker than thunder and muttering into his cooking pot something fearful. He said that...
Petrus says many things he might do well not to say. Marty never means harm, as well you know.
Well, you didn't see him. And I was looking beneath the surface.
Well, then what did he say, our worthy cook?
It's not just Petrus. A lot of the brothers agree with him. He said that now Prior Robert has his foot in the door, it'll take nothing less than a dose of hemlock to get him out again.
A week passed. The winter closed gently in, and the soil of Cadfael's kingdom settled to its sleep. But the air still bore a lingering, aromatic fragrance, compounded of all the ghostly scents of summer. Inside the workshop hut, the spicy sweetness made the senses swim. Cadfael barely noticed it, but at need he could distinguish every ingredient that contributed to it and trace it to its source.
Don't linger in the cold. Come inside.
Brother Cadfael.
Brother Edmund. The medicines are all ready for you.
I've got four more cases of the sneezing room in the infirmary, and they won't be the last. Have you brewed enough of the mixture?
More than enough. One dose, three times in the day, will ease the discomfort. Depend on it.
Sometimes I wonder if you don't test all these brews out on yourself.
Which of you is Brother Cadfael?
I am. Close the door, lad.
Your pardon? Away outside?
No, that's not what I mean. Come in and welcome. Close the door behind you. The wind makes the brazier smoke.
Whatever your pleasure.
And I'll be with you very shortly. Now, brother.
One more thing. Old Brother Rhys is groaning with creaks and pains in his shoulders and back. You have an oil that gave him ease before.
I have. Wait now. There. Pass me one of the flasks, would you, lad?
Ah, well, here.
Thank you. I stand away now. You too, Edmund. There we are. Thank you, Cadfael. Wait, Edmund. Don't touch it till I wipe the neck. There. Good. Now step away from the brazier a second, would you?
Well, why did you burn it? I could always find a use for extra rags.
Not ones that have touched this oil. It's powerful stuff. There. Now it's safe. Well, here you are, Edmund.
Thank you.
And keep it carefully and never let it near your lips, nor any scratch or wound. And wash your hands well after you've used it.
So perilous? What's it made from?
The ground root of monk's hood, chiefly. They call it that, from the shape of the flowers. Good for a man's outside, but bad indeed for his inside. A few drops of that can kill. Mind well what I told you.
I shall.
Would you like me to come over myself and do the anointing? Needs to be worked in deep.
Yes, come. Brother Rhys will be glad to see you. His mind wanders nowadays, but he'll not have forgotten you. He remembers any who have the Welsh tongue.
Well, he goes back to his childhood, as old men do.
True. Till later then, Cadfael. Good day to you, lad.
Brother.
Well, friend, I'm sorry you've been kept waiting.
I'm used to it. What are servants for but to come and go as others wish?
All men are welcome here. What's your need?
I'm sent by Mistress Burnell. My master and mistress moved in today to a house in the Fallgate. They're guests of the Abbey.
Ah, so they're safely in, are they? God give them joy. And you'll be the manservant who will carry their meals back and forth.
Yes, master.
No one's master. Every man's brother, if you will. And what's your name, friend?
My name is Elfric. Is that oil truly so deadly it can kill a man?
Well, so can many things, used wrongly or to excess. Wine, even good wholesome food, if you devour it beyond reason. How many are you in the house?
My master and mistress and I, and a maid.
Well, Elfric, what I can supply for your lady, that I will. What is it I can send her this time?
She asks for some sage and some basil, if you have such.
Surely. Is she a good mistress?
She is.
Cadfael looked at the young man and saw mixed and confused thoughts. A wild thing, caged with his grievances and hurts and hatreds. What was to be done for him? And why had that mention of the maid been forced so reluctantly between set teeth?
There, friend. Sage and basil. You're sure there's nothing more?
These are my lady's needs.
Careful, lad. Look, they are tender. Growths not an enemy's throat. Loosen your grip.
Your pardon. I thank you, brother.
My good wishes to your master and mistress. Well, well. Whose throat were you thinking of, I wonder?
Just lean to the left there, Uncle. That's it. Yes, that's right. I work for a carpenter and carver now here in the town.
Good with your hands, are you? That comes from your mother's father.
So I've often been told and shown his handiwork many a time.
Beautiful furniture he used to make. Haven't I always said so, Edmund?
That you have, Reese.
Beautiful furniture he used to make.
And so shall I. What would you like? A table, a chair, a chest for all your treasures. Lean forward now. Good. Anyway, now I'm nearby, you'll be seeing more of me. I'll come and do this for you again, shall I? No, lean forward or I can't reach properly. That's right. That's the way now.
Ah, Cadfael. Edmund. Oh, I see I'm forestall. Good day to you, friend.
Brother, I offered my services. You don't mind, I hope?
To see my work done for me. And done well, too. No, I don't mind.
Brother Rhys, look who's here to see you.
Cadfael.
See, Marys. Sit here.
And now look at this. My kinsmen remember me yet. Yes, my niece's boy come to visit me. My great nephew, Marek.
Well, hold on, brother.
Sit here.
That's enough for now, Uncle. Have up your gown again and keep the warmth in.
I'll see to that. You wash your hands now, Marek. Here, Rhys. Let me help you.
Does the oil burn, Rhys?
It's prickled like nettles. But now, it's just a warm glow. I'm tired now.
Oh, that's right, that's well. That's hard exercise you'll be taking. And now you should rest. You know, put your arm round my shoulders. That's the way.
Good day, Uncle. Sleep peacefully.
Take my greetings to your mother, Mary. Ask her to come and visit me when they bring the wool to Shrewsbury Market. Oh, I'm fain to see her again.
You sure of it, Uncle? Rest now.
He sets great store by your mother, it seems.
He does.
Will he see her soon?
Not in this world. My mother has been dead for 11 years, this Michaelmas past. And he knows it, or he knew it, as well as I.
You choose not to remind him.
If she's alive to him, why should I spoil that? Let him keep that thought, and any other that can pleasure him.
Ah, that's the Vesper bell. Godspeed, Merrick. The elders of your kinship, I think, are fortunate in their sons.
My kinship is my mother's kinship. I go with my own.
Then your father...
was not a Welshman.
He's a strange one, isn't he?
Merrick?
Myrie? No, I'm talking about Elfric.
Oh.
The Bunnell's manservant. There's something odd about him.
Because he chooses not to exchange gossip with novices.
No. But I don't think he's truly as unfriendly as he seems. I believe he has something on his mind.
He has his work to do. And perhaps a master who's hard to please.
He's been out of sorts since they moved in. Master Bunnell, I mean. Low and out of appetite.
Yeah, so might I be, if I had nothing to do but sit there and wonder if I'd done well to part with all my lungs. Pay attention to what you're doing, lad.
Sorry. The maid servant is pretty. Have you seen her?
No, I haven't. And you should be averting your eyes from contemplation of women. Pretty, is she?
Very pretty. Perhaps she's Elfric's trouble.
She could be trouble for you, boy, if Prior Robert catches you gazing on her. If you must admire a fine girl, let it be from the corner of your eye. Perhaps Master Bunnell will be well enough in time, if it's his mind that ails him and not his body.
They say...
Well, what do they say?
They say that it's all due to his son.
He has a son?
Is that so surprising?
Well, of course it is. Giving away everything you own to the Abbey is one thing, but disinheriting a son to do it is quite another. You can't do that in law.
Ah, I see what you mean. But it's not his own son. It's his wife's boy by a former marriage, so the lad has no legal claim. Apparently, Master Bunnell had named the boy as his heir in his will. But then there was some sort of a fight, and now the Abbey Charter wipes that out.
Or will, when the new abbot seals it. What did the boy do to deserve such harsh treatment? To lose so rich a manor?
I don't know. I just know that the son took himself off to his married sister and her family and decided to learn a trade.
Must be an awkward situation for the boy's mother. Torn two ways.
Yes. Do you know, I haven't heard a word about Mistress Bunnell. I wonder what she's like.
More speculation about women, lad. You watch out for Prior Robert.
Brother Petrus?
Prior Robert. You've no come to find fault with my kitchen, I trust.
Cleanliness is perhaps somewhat lacking.
You'll no see a mote of dust anywhere.
But that is not the purpose of my visit. Look at this.
An excellent partridge.
A gift from a certain knight in Shropshire.
Aye, I thought so. Sends one every year for Father Heribut.
You will prepare it for my midday meal. And you will set aside a small serving to be sent with my goodwill to Master Bunnell.
To Master Bunnell?
He's been most generous towards this abbey. This is a small gesture of thanks. You may send it on one of my own platters. Prepare the bird well.
I shall do my best.
As do we all. And so we should. Continue with your work.
Small gesture of thanks. Most magnanimous.
Cadfael's own dinner, and that of all the other brothers, was plain boiled beef, served with beans. Since Prior Robert ate privately, in the lodging he already thought of as his own, it was Brother Richard, the sub-prior, who presided in the refectory. And since it was he who led out the procession after grace, it was also Brother Richard, whose nose was nearly broken when the refectory door flew open in his face.
For the love of heaven! What is it? What's wrong?
It's my master. It's Master Burnell.
Slow down, lad. Catch your breath and we'll hear your message the sooner.
Master Burnell?
Yep.
He's taken terribly ill. My mistress begs someone to attend him.
What ails him? Is it a stroke? A convulsion?
No, not that. A tingling of the mouth and throat, and lips and neck grown stiff and hard.
And he will to vomit, but could not.
Yes, Brother Cadwell, you know this sickness.
I'll get what may be needed. You go there straight, Edmund. I'll join you as fast as I can.
Brother Cadwell, pray God you are in time.
My rig?
This way.
Is there nothing you can do?
This is no illness familiar to me, Mistress Burnell.
Easy. Help will soon arrive.
Here he is, Mistress.
Thank God. In here, brother. Please help my husband.
If I can.
Brother, what's wrong?
He knew her at once. He knew her, though he had not seen her since they were both 17 and sworn to marry. And he had taken the cross and sailed for the Holy Land. Vows on both sides had been forgotten and broken in the impossibly long years of his absence. She had married a more stable character, and small blame to her. More than 40 years between, and he knew her at once. But she, thank God, did not know him.
Brother?
Forgive me. I'll help your husband if I can, and God willing. Move away now. Edmund.
His pulse is almost gone.
And his muscles are hard as stone. Somebody get a bowl and beat a couple of eggs into some milk.
Yes, sir.
I'll help you.
I'll give him a mixture of mustard and salt. If we can make him vomit, rid him of whatever it is he's eaten. Master Burnell, try to drink this. Help me, Edmund. Hold his head.
Here.
Good. Come on.
Oh, he's taken some.
No, not enough. This is not going to work. Elphick!
Here!
Edmund, hold him up. Elphick, try to get some of that into his mouth. It may soothe the damaged parts of the stomach.
He won't swallow.
Gervais!
Stand away, Elphick. Let me see him. We can do no more for him. He's gone.
Mistress Burnell, I am very sorry. So are we all. Look to her, girl.
Come away, mistress.
Cadwell?
What is it, Edmund?
You're sure it was the food, not some pestilence?
I'm quite certain.
But how? Surely they've eaten the same, all of them.
I wonder. Look at this.
That looks like one of Prior Robert's platters.
Exactly. And set at the head of the table. What was on it, Ilfric? Well?
Partridge. Special gift for Master Burnell alone. Part of Prior Robert's own dinner.
Are you certain of that?
Yes.
Edmund, go back at once. Check that the Prior is all right. I'll stay here.
Check on Prior Robert? Do you think the whole dish may have been diseased?
Diseased? Petrus would never have served it. That food was deliberately poisoned. Go.
Monkswood was written by Ellis Peters and dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. The narrator was Sir Michael Horden. Brother Cadwyle was played by Philip Maddock, Brother Mark by Ian Target, Father Heribert by Timothy Bateson, Prior Robert by Geoffrey Whitehead, Aelfric by Mark Straker, Myrig by Kenneth Price, Brother Rhys by Norman Jones, Rishildis Burnell by Pat Haywood, Aldith by Jane Whittenshaw, Brother Edmund by Timothy Carlton, and Brother Petrus by Fraser Carr. The producer was Lissa Evans.